Welcome to Fight the Good Fight, a production of Freedom Force Florida. And now your hosts, Michael Williams and Tabitha Brown.
Okay, so imagine, right, spending 40 years, like literally your whole adult life, like behind bars.
Oh, yeah.
That's what Randolph Bagot actually endured.
Yeah.
And instead of, you know, just giving up, he was busy, like, crafting this plan.
Right.
This blueprint.
Yeah.
You know, to, like, totally reform Florida's criminal justice system.
Yeah, and that's, I think, what makes this whole deep dive so interesting.
Oh, yeah.
We're not just talking theory here.
Right.
We're looking at action, you know, like an action plan built on actual experience.
Yeah, this is Freedom Force Florida's game plan.
Yeah.
And it's full of these crazy little details.
It's wild.
I mean, you just wouldn't believe it.
Yeah.
You know? But let's back up for a sec, though.
Yeah.
I mean, we are talking about this huge system, right, that impacts millions of people. Whether you're, you know, directly involved or you've got a loved one who is...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the scope alone is really impressive.
Right.
They're not messing around. Like, they're not going for just a couple of, like, small tweaks here and there. They want to change the whole thing.
A complete, like, overhaul.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's get into the nitty-gritty.
Okay.
The groundwork.
Right.
What's the first thing on their list?
Well, they start by building a base, right?
Okay.
A strong foundation. And this is where it gets kind of interesting.
Okay.
They want to set up these chapters, right?
Okay.
In all 67 counties in Florida. But they're not just picking places randomly.
Mm-hmm.
They're specifically, like, targeting Black churches.
That's interesting. Why Black churches?
Well, it's about, you know, acknowledging the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
The fact that there are so many African Americans in the prison system,
right?
It's a huge problem.
It is.
And it comes from, you know, all this systemic stuff like bias in policing and sentencing.
Yeah.
So by focusing on these Black churches, they're trying to address that head on.
Yeah, it's not just about showing up and being there.
Right.
No, not at all. You've got they have specific things in mind
exactly
for these church communities to do.
They need people, volunteers, but not just any volunteers.
Okay.
They want people who are ready to work to make phone calls, send emails, you know, even make those protest signs, like real grassroots stuff.
Okay, so they're not afraid to, you know, stir things up a little bit.
Not at all. They're not afraid of confrontation.
Right, yeah.
They're using it strategically.
Yeah.
Putting pressure, you know, especially on the politicians who've been blocking reforms.
Right.
They've even got a list of specific politicians, like, what was his name?
Okay.
Former Senate President Wilton Simpson.
Oh, right.
He blocked a bunch of these reform bills, even though everybody wanted them.
Now, that's putting your money where your mouth is, right?
Absolutely. And they're smart about it, too.
Okay.
You know, they understand how media works, and they know that in these smaller markets, a well-placed protest.
Right.
Can get a ton of coverage.
That's true.
Which keeps the heat on these politicians.
Yeah, it's bold. I'll give them that.
Definitely.
Okay, so they're
building this base.
Building their base,
targeting
their opposition.
Absolutely.
What's next?
All right, so we've got the troops all ready to go.
Right.
They're putting on the pressure from the outside.
Yeah.
But what about actually changing the law?
Right.
What are they really fighting for?
Right. So we've got the troops rallied
and
they're putting on the pressure from the outside. But what about concrete changes? Like, what about the law?
Right. So that's where their big three legislative goals come in.
Okay.
It's all broken down into these phases, three of them, and it gets pretty detailed.
Okay. Let's break it down.
Okay.
Phase one.
Phase one is all about getting people out.
Out.
Yeah, like a path out of the system. Yeah. And they've even written up the actual laws.
Wow.
The exact language for these laws that they want to see passed. And they're starting with the Elderly Inmate Release Act.
So this isn't just about, like, you know, going easy on people, right?
Right.
There's a practical side to this, too.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. They make the point that it costs way more to keep these older inmates locked up.
Right.
Something like $100,000 per inmate per year.
That's a lot.
It's huge, and their law would give inmates 50 and older who've served a good chunk of their sentence and meet certain criteria the chance to ask to be let out.
Okay, so not just anyone can walk free.
No. It's not a free pass at all,
right.
But it gives a chance to the ones who've shown they've changed.
Okay, so it's a win-win, right?
Yeah.
For both for taxpayers and for people who aren't, you know, a huge risk.
Exactly.
What else is part of this get out plan?
So then there's the Compassionate Release Act.
Mm-hmm.
That one's for people who are really sick. Like terminally ill or have a serious disability.
I mean, that's where that example
of
the former mobster with Alzheimer's.
Exactly. That's a perfect example.
Yeah. It really makes you think about the human cost.
Right.
Not just for...
it's not just about them.
A person locked up.
It's their families, too.
Oh, for their families, too.
Absolutely. And the plan actually talks about this case.
Okay.
This guy, this former mobster... He's not a threat to anyone anymore.
Right.
But the system's keeping him locked up, even though his sister is ready and willing to take care of him. It's heartbreaking, you know? And Freedom Force Florida, they're saying this isn't just cruel. It's a waste of money, too.
Yeah, it makes you think about, you know, like, what does justice really mean?
Right, exactly.
But let's talk about their big idea.
The big one, yeah.
The Work Release Act of 2024.
That's right.
How is this different from... You know,
the
work release programs that already exist.
Their proposal would make almost all inmates
participate
in work release
during
like the last few months of their sentence.
And that's a big change, right?
It's huge because right now in Florida, a lot of violent offenders and sex offenders, they can't do these programs at all.
And what's their reasoning there?
Well, they say that just letting people out with nothing, no money, no job skills, like no support, it's setting them up to fail.
Right. They're going to end up right back in prison.
It's just going to cycle right back.
Exactly. It's a cycle.
Okay. But expanding work release like that, isn't that really expensive?
So here's the interesting part.
Okay.
They want to use the prisons they already have to house these work release people.
So they don't have to build new places.
Exactly. They're not just saying, hey, let's change things. They're thinking about the money, too.
That's actually really smart.
It is. It's practical.
So they're trying to make
coming
home
reentry
smoother.
Exactly. But then what happens when someone does get out?
Right.
You get a job. But what good is it if you don't have a place to live?
Exactly.
That's where phase two comes in.
Okay.
Shifting the focus from punishment to rehabilitation. Okay. So shifting from punishment... to rehabilitation.
Right.
That just seems like a huge, I don't know, like how do you even...
It's a big one.
How do you even begin to do that?
It really is about like changing how you think about the whole thing, you know?
Okay.
And Freedom Force Florida, they say it means going back to what Florida was doing before 1978.
Really?
When it was called the Department of Offender Rehabilitation.
Huh.
Not the Department of Corrections. Well, like a totally different mindset.
So they want to like...
Yeah.
Go back to the future, kind of. But I mean, how do they actually see this working?
So they talk about creating an environment that's all about growth.
Okay.
And restoration,
right.
Not just punishment, you know.
Right.
So think like educational programs, job training, mental health counseling.
Right.
Basically giving people the tools to actually make it when they get out.
Okay. So like... addressing the root cause of the problem.
Exactly.
So they're less likely to end up back in prison.
That's the idea.
But I'm sure some people listening are thinking, what about the really dangerous people?
Right.
You know, the ones who, I don't know.
The ones you can't rehabilitate.
Yeah, like what about them?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
And they actually address that directly with their civil commitment program.
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it, but could you just...
Yeah.
Explain it for
of course.
For our listeners who might not.
So civil commitment, it's basically this legal process.
Okay.
Where if someone is considered dangerous, right? Like a danger to themselves or other people.
Okay.
Because of a mental illness? They can be held in a psychiatric facility even if they haven't committed a crime.
So it's not about, you know,
right,
locking them up and throwing away the key.
It's not about punishment.
Yeah.
It's about getting them the help they need.
Right. It's about recognizing that some people just, I don't know, need a different approach.
Exactly.
One that focuses on treatment.
Right.
Not just punishment.
Exactly.
Okay, so we've got all these changes, right?
Okay.
Releasing some inmates, focusing on rehab.
Rehabilitation, yeah.
Rehabilitation, civil commitment for, you know,
right,
extreme cases.
The tough ones.
Right, and all of that leads to this big moment, right?
What's
getting back into society.
Reentry.
Reentry, yeah. And even with job training and support, I mean, it's tough.
That's got to be tough.
It's incredibly difficult.
And that's where their third phase comes in.
Exactly.
Transitional housing.
They want to set up all these halfway houses to give people structure and support when they're first getting out.
So it's like a stepping stone.
Yeah, like a bridge.
Between prison life and, you know,
the real world.
The real world, exactly.
A huge adjustment.
But realistically, how are they going to pay for all of this?
Right.
I mean, especially something like transitional housing, that's...
It's expensive.
Yeah.
Well, they have an idea for that, too.
Okay.
They want to take these closed prisons, like Wakulla Work Camp, up near Tallahassee.
Right.
And turn them into transitional housing.
That's...
Kill two birds with one stone.
It's really smart. So they're thinking about the money. They're addressing the concern.
Yeah, they're trying to be realistic.
But this is more than just, you know, logistics, right?
Sure.
They're not just talking about changing a few laws here and there.
Right.
They want to change the whole culture around incarceration.
Oh, it's about changing the system from the inside out.
Yeah, and this is what I think is really interesting.
That's that.
Some of their ideas are so small, so specific.
Like what?
Like they want guards to have to say Mr. or Miss when they're talking to inmates.
Yeah.
I mean, that just seems...
insignificant.
Yeah.
It seems small, but it's really not.
Zion.
It's about respect.
Okay.
Treating people with dignity no matter what they've done.
It's about changing the whole atmosphere. Yeah. And then they also want to rename prisons to rehabilitation centers.
Right. Again, it's about sending a message.
Right.
These places aren't just about locking people up.
Right. It's about giving them a chance to change.
Exactly. A chance to become better.
So they've got this whole plan for changing laws, for changing how prisons work on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, it's pretty comprehensive.
But they're realists, right?
Oh, absolutely.
They know they can't do it alone.
They need help.
So who are they looking to partner with?
Well, they talk about working with legal aid groups.
Okay.
Like Florida Institutional Legal Services.
Okay.
And the Southern Poverty Law Center.
I've heard of them.
To help fight for prisoners' rights.
So they're tapping into these organizations that already have, you know,
yeah,
the expertise.
Yeah.
What other collaborations are they thinking about?
They want to work with other reform groups, too.
Okay.
Like Florida Cares, to get their message out there.
So it's about building a movement.
Exactly.
It's a bold plan.
It is.
I mean, it's huge. But the big question is...
What's that?
Will it work?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah, can you really take a system that's designed for punishment
right,
and turn it into something that's truly about rehabilitation?
It's a huge challenge.
It is, and I think that's what's so fascinating
right,
about Freedom Force Florida's plan.
Definitely.
It makes us really think about, like, what is the purpose of our justice system?
It's a fundamental question.
And what kind of society do we want to live in?
Exactly. It's about more than just prisons.
Yeah, it's about second chances. It's about redemption.
It's about hope.
And it's about creating a more just world for everyone.
Absolutely. And that's a conversation we should all be having.
Thank you for listening to Fight the Good Fight. Please join us by signing up on our website and help fund our mission by clicking the donate page.